Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This Islamic Studies class is September 20, 2020. And we are doing today the knowledge of Allah. We're going to talk about the knowledge of Allah. The knowledge of Allah is very interesting topic. Why? Because people say Allah knows everything that happened. If Allah knows everything that happened, would happen in the future, in the past and the future, Allah knows about it. Not only that Allah knows about it, but it's written in a book. And if you read the Quran, you see statements like Allah guides whomsoever he wills and misguides whomsoever he wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make people hear the truth, or Allah can block the people from hearing the truth. Allah seals the ears and the eyes and the hearts of the bad people of people, and open them for other people. He shuts down, seals them for people. So one category of people. And if I bring you the Quran, you will see a lot of things like that. Maryam. Okay, there's a lot of things about that. By the way, this is the Quran. It's a very nice search engine where you can search. Khatama, if we look at the word khatama. Khatama. Searches, and for the word khatama, brings you this ayah here, that basically the ayah is saying that Allah has sealed upon their hearts, their hearings, their vision, and for them this is a great punishment. So Allah blocked them intentionally. Allah blocked their ears from hearing the truth, their eyes from seeing the truth, their hearts from feeling or appreciating the truth, comprehending the truth. Allah is the one who did that. So, and you hear other statements in the Quran, for example, about guiding and misguiding. For example, here, for example, this one, it says that Allah, those who deny our denied our verses are deaf and dumb within darkness. For whom Allah wills, he leaves astray, and whom he wills, he puts him on the straight path. And you can find numerous number of ayahs about that. And the question is, how come people are held accountable for their deeds? How come if Allah is, it's the ridiculous understanding, or the ridiculous interpretations of these ayat is that we are not, Allah is the one who responsible of our deeds, bad or good. He's responsible of the bad deeds. He is the one who made me blind. He's the one who sealed my heart. Who's the one who sealed my eyes and my ears from seeing, hearing, appreciating the truth. It's his fault. He is, it's for him, it's like a chess game. He's moving the pieces. And we shouldn't be held responsible of any of these things. Or Allah is forcing us to do these things, to what I did, Allah's forcing me to do. Because he is the one who wrote it before. He knew about it and he wrote it. Okay. So basically I had no choice except to follow what he wrote. Okay. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you get this misunderstanding. Can you see my pictures in the video? Can you see my picture? Small or big? Enough for you to see my hand movements and okay. So How can we answer this question? How can we answer this question? How come? How come we still have freedom of choice, free will, freedom of choice, things that we hear about and are not happening? Because Allah is guiding everything. Allah's orchestrating everything. Allah's moving the pieces. It's Allah. Okay. It's Allah. It's Allah's fault. Okay. This also, the answer to this question also has to do with not only the knowledge of Allah. Allah is al-Alim, the most knowledgeable, and the status of his knowledge, but also it's related to other names of Allah, like al-Awwal, al-Akhir, the one at the before the beginning without a start, the one after the end without end, after the end without finish, or after the finish without end, and the one who Qadir, he wills everything. But in order to understand the answer to these questions, let's look at one at a time. Number one, is it possible, since everything is written, already written, millions, zillions of years ago already, Allah have written everything. Everything is written. There is nothing that's not being written. And it's a humongous book. If we think of this book as each page is one day, each word is a person, and this Quran have used this metaphor to make us understand the book of Allah, that pages are time, pages of times like frames, like a movie, okay? And we are words written. Allah literally called people words, like Prophet, he said about Prophet Isa alayhi salam that he's my word. He said he's our word. He is a word as a human or a creation of Allah. And we are all, everything is written in the book of Allah, and the book of Allah is written and sealed and everything is done. Then how can we explain that we still have a free will? To answer this, we need to just, I will ask you a question. How could I know your answer without forcing you to answer? I'll give you a question. I'll give you an example. If I ask you, do cows fly on their own? Cows, do cows fly on their own? Your answer would be no, right? What would it, if I ask you the question, do cows fly on their own? What, how are you going to answer? You said yes or no?
No.
You know what? I knew you were going to say no without me forcing you to say no. How, why? Why is this?
Oh, I get it.
I knew your answer before you answer it, without forcing you. How is this possible?
Because it was a simple question.
Exactly. Because I know the question very well. And I know the person who's being questioned. So I know you, you're not 4 years old. And you're not mentally retarded. You are a smart, intelligent person. And I ask you a question. It's a simple question like that. Knowing that you're going to say, knowing you and knowing the question, I can tell what the answer is. If I know you very well, I know the question very well, I can know the answer without forcing you to do the answer that I know. You see here? So, since life is a test, questions, make tests that have lots of questions, tests of submission, submit, fasting, fast or break your fast. Submission to which one? Test of submission, pray or don't pray. Submission to what? You know, that life is a test, test of submission after a test of submission after a test of submission. You pray or not to pray, fast or not fast. Be kind or not be kind, lie or say the truth. Oh, one test of submission after another test of submission, they follow with each other, one after another. Allah knows these questions very well. And they know us very well. And he figured out the answer before we answer them. Because he knew us, he knew the question, he knew the answer. But he never forced any one of us to do the answer. He just knew it. Okay? So that's one thing. This is one response. The second response to the people who are saying that everything, Allah says, nothing that happens without my will. Nothing could ever happen or take place without my will. So Allah is saying about himself, he guides whomsoever he wants, and he misguides whomsoever he wants. He says that literally, I guide whomsoever I will, I misguide whomsoever I will. Okay? So, if this people who say, who have like the ridiculous understanding and say, well, Allah, if Allah wanted, he would have guided me. I misguided because if he wanted, he wanted me to be misguided. The simple answer is, if I say Allah guides or misguides only the ones who willed, whom he wills. So he wills to guide and misguide. What's the opposite of this statement? That Allah wills to guide and wills to misguide. If I bring you the inverse or the opposite, I would say that people are guided and misguided whether Allah wills or not will. In other words, whether Allah likes it or don't like it, wills or don't will, people get guided and misguided. Is that something reasonable? Isn't that impossible? It's impossible. Why? The opposite is impossible. Then the statement is fact. So Allah guides whomsoever he wants and misguides whomsoever he wants. The opposite is that people are guided and misguided whether Allah wants or don't want. The opposite is impossible because if Allah wants something, it will happen. Okay? It's impossible to say that people are guided or misguided whether Allah likes it or don't like it, whether Allah wants or don't want, whether Allah wills or don't will. That statement is impossible. Okay? And it's not appropriate for Allah at all that people are guided and misguided without his permission, without his will. No. Everything is by his will. So the opposite becomes impossible. Then the actual statement is true. Then the actual statement is true because the opposite is impossible. Okay? So that's another answer. So the first answer is about the cows who fly on their own. The second answer is that everything has to be with his will. There's nothing can be outside of his will. Okay? So he wills everything because the opposite statement is impossible. That things happen whether he wills or don't will, whether he wants or don't want, whether he agrees or don't agree. You know, these kind of things are impossible. Okay. Okay. Allah also says we have created to hell so many people that he had created them knowing that they are going to hell. Okay. It's a question of the philosophy of evil. Why would evil exist? Why do evil deeds exist? Because if there is no evil deeds, then there is no good deeds. In order for good deeds to exist, bad deeds have to exist. Otherwise, it would be just deeds. Okay? And it would be no test, no question. I mean, it's just become deeds. So, same things. In order for good to exist, evil must exist. If there's no evil, there's no good. So that's why evil has to exist for good to exist. Otherwise, there's no evil, there's no good, there's no test. We are angels, you know. But to be free, evil deeds have to exist for us to be free, to have free choice. free will. Okay. If evil deeds don't exist, then we don't have a free will like the angels. You see? So out of the evil comes the good. Out of the bad deeds come the good deeds. We can't have, there is no zakah or charity if there are no good poor people to take it. Okay? So many things that you can see clearly that, so many things in this life that you see clearly that the in order for a true test to come, there has to be choices available. If it's everything is day and there is no night, then neither day will exist nor the night will exist, because it's just going to be normal. Like it's always light and bright. You understand? There has to be a choice for us to, for a test of submission to be a test. It has to be choice, and we're free to choose. Allah knew our choices ahead of time. Yes, He knew it. And He have written it because He knows us, He knows the question, and He knows the answer. So evil must exist. Evil deeds must exist. And this is why Allah allows evil to take place and allows harm to take place. Harm, if there is no harm, there is no peace. If there is no harmful stuff, there is no peaceful stuff. In order for stuff to be peaceful or harmful, harm has to exist for peace to exist. Okay? So if people are not harmed, then the opposite will not exist. Unharmed will not exist. So this life is a choice. And I heard someone, big Christian rabbi was taking, or like a person talking about 9/11. He's saying, I don't understand why God allows these tragedies to take place. That's a question. It's you're not surprised if this question is asked by a normal person, layman person, but for a big priest or a big preacher or a big rabbi or what? No, priest. I'm sorry. It was a Christian guy. And for him to wonder about something like that, you have a question, Zaki?
Yeah, I have a question. So you're saying that for something good to exist, the opposite has to exist as well, right?
Yes.
So does that mean that for Islam to exist, polytheism had to exist?
And other ways as well.
Okay.
Polytheism and Christianity and Judaism. There is a straight path and not straight path.
Okay. So I have another question. So in heaven, there's nothing but good.
For angels.
So in the second part of life, when we go to heaven or hell, there's nothing but good there.
Yes, exactly.
So how would it function when?
There are no tests anymore. So you just enjoy your life, and it's infinite enjoyment. If you are one of those chosen ones that you'll go to Jannah, and it's infinite pain and suffering if you are, God forbid, from those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see what I'm saying? So there is no test anymore. There is no choices. It's the choice will be choices of fun. So today I want to fly in Jannah. Today I want to fly an airplane. Tomorrow I want to swim. A day after tomorrow I want to dive. Okay? There is no day and night, by the way, in Jannah. Okay? So
this universe.
You don't need to sleep, in other words.
That's okay. What
I meant. You don't need to sleep. So from one form of enjoyment to another, based on your selections, you have the selections here, the menu you choose.
So
there's no test.
This universe is based on the principle of opposites.
Not the universe.
This negative and positive energy and opposite good and bad. That's why we cannot imagine heaven, because we've only imagined in a world of opposites.
No, actually, no. I can imagine heaven like somebody's asking me to having living a lavish lifestyle, and somebody taking my orders in the day, in the morning, making them happen. Basically, choices between luxuries. Mm. Your choices would be which one will enjoy. You will enjoy what more for now. Today, I feel like enjoying this. Tomorrow, I feel like enjoying that. And every day, the enjoyment that you ask for is better than the day before. So it gets better and better and better and endlessly. Every day, the Jannah changes its clothes, so you're not bored. Of course, you will never be bored in Jannah, but one of the reasons that the Jannah changes its clothes every day. So every day, new stuff. Whatever you don't want, whatever you want to stay, it stays. Whatever you want to be new, it becomes new.
So heaven is a kind of like a life of infinity.
Exactly. And it's just choices of pleasures.
And this like, life, this world, is a life of finite. It's finite.
Finite, yes. Yes. There is a joke about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a guy came to him and he said, "Yeah, O Prophet Muhammad, I love to farm. Would Allah let me farm in Jannah?" So the Prophet said, read that verse in the Quran, that we get what we want and Allah will give us his surprises. So whatever you ask for, you get. On the top of that, the surprises from Allah. So whatever you ask for, you get, and the surprises of Allah are going to be better than what you ask it for, but you're not aware of. It's just like surprise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every day there is a surprise, and the surprise is better than the previous surprise. You know what I'm trying to say here? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lahum ma yasha'una fiha wa ladayna mazid." You get what you want, and we have our own surprises to you. That answers his question, that if he wants to farm, he will farm. So the other guy, the funny part is that there is another guy sitting and he said, "Okay, Prophet Muhammad, this guy must be from the people of Medina, because we don't like farming at all." So the Prophet smiled, you know, like if you don't like to farm, you will not have to farm. You see what I'm saying? It's just a matter of enjoyment. Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. There is also another ayah in the Quran that we should look at. Let me bring it up. Where the ayah is, okay, the ayah says here that if some good reaches them, they say this is from Allah. But if some evil befalls on them, they say this is from you. Then Allah say to them, all things are from Allah. What is wrong with you? You don't understand, you fail to understand that all things are from Allah. Okay, that's the first ayah. Then the second ayah says, whatever good reaches you, it's from Allah. But whatever evils befell on you, it's from yourself. Okay, so the first ayah talks about generally. Everything is from Allah generally, no exception. So Allah said they fail to understand that this basic fact is everything from Allah, but the responsibility. The good people, Allah is responsible of them, but the bad people, Allah is not responsible of the bad things. So evil and good come from Allah, yes, but the responsibility is Allah is responsible for the good things, but evil, it's your responsibility. Okay? As far as responsibilities are concerned, it's your responsibility. Then why does Allah seals the eyes, the hearts, the ears of bad people? Because this is what they want. They just don't want to hear the truth. Allah makes it happen. So it is just like they wish, Allah's making it true. You don't want to be guided, then Allah will misguide you. If you want to be guided, Allah will help you and guide you. But if you don't want guidance, you're not interested into guidance at all, and you're not willing to change, then what do you expect? Does Allah force you to be guided? No, Allah is not going to force you. It's against the system, the laws that Allah has created, the laws of nature. Allah is not going to force anybody to be good or to be evil. You're free to choose for yourself. So basically, it's what you want, Allah makes it happen. There's a question, a very interesting question. Let me see if you guys know the answer for this question or not. Why doesn't the shaitan repent? He knows Allah will forgive him and he will go to Jannah. Why doesn't he repent? Go ahead.
Maybe because he knows his destiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shared that he will go to hell if he does not repent. And he wants to see how far he can push the limit.
No, not really.
No? Okay.
Any other answers? Amin, what do you think?
He's going to stay with his word, maybe.
But the eternal punishment and suffering that he's going to be suffering at the end, and he's sure, he's not like us, he's sure, he's 100% sure that he's going to hell. He's 100% sure he's going to hell, okay? So the amount of suffering that he knows about and he's expecting and he's waiting for, okay, is so bad and he knows about it, but he doesn't want to repent. Why? Because he doesn't want to repent. The answer is very simple. He's not interested. He just don't want. He doesn't want to repent. Hell, hell. I go to hell. Don't you see people sometimes thinking that way? It doesn't matter. I don't care. Even if I go to hell. But the shaitan is really, really means it. That he is not, he blames Allah. He says, it's Allah's fault. He misguided me. Okay, and of course that argument doesn't fly because he is the one who's not interested into guidance. He said Allah misguided me by asking me to bow down to Adam. He should have known better that I'm not going to bow down to him because I am superior to him. I am made of fire and he's made of clay. I'm made of dirt. I'm made of fire. Smokeless fire, as Allah said that the shaitan and the jinn are created from smokeless fire. Okay, so he just refused. He's not interested. So are other demons, evil demons. Same thing, same thing. They just have no interest into Jannah and they don't care. They will not repent because they say the hell with it. The hell with it. We go to hell, we go to hell, but we're not going to repent. You see what I'm saying? So this is why Allah misguides the shaitan, because he wanted to be misguided. And if Allah would repeat the same test again, shaitan would refuse to bow and blame him. Doesn't matter how many times Allah would repeat the same test, shaitan is not going to bow. Even if Allah created the third of creation, ask shaitan to bow, he's not going to bow. Fourth creation, ask shaitan to bow, he's not going to bow. And he would blame Allah for asking him to do that by saying, you misguided me by asking me to do things that I would not accept to do. So you knew that I'm not going to bow down to him. And you did that to me. You asked me to bow down. So it's your fault. But of course, that's a ridiculous government. That's a ridiculous excuse or ridiculous statement because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the choice. And because he's so evil, he's so pure evil, he refused. He refused to obey the orders of Allah. And Allah gave him a second chance. After Allah ordered him to bow, he didn't. So Allah asked him, why didn't you bow down? He said, I'm better than him. You know, You know that. I'm better than him. I'm not going to bow to him. I'm better than him. He's made of fire. He's made of dirt and I'm made of fire. I'm better to him. I'm superior to him. It's you. You shouldn't be asking me. You should have known better than that, than to ask me to bow down to him. Okay? So that's the problem. That's the problem here. That's the essential problem. Same thing with the human evil. Same thing are for human evils. The human evils, they blame Allah and say, if Allah wanted, we would have been good people. He's the one who misguided us. It's his responsibility. The misguidance is his responsibility. And Allah simply answers, no, that's not true. It's your responsibility. You have the will. You chose to be misguided, so I made it possible for you to be misguided. You choose to be guided, I will guide you. So if you want a guidance, Allah will help you and give you guidance. You're not interested into guidance, Allah is going to let you, leave you alone. If you're not interested in the misguidance, it's your choice. All what Allah is doing is making both possible. Sending a prophet with a message, so you know what to do. You know what to do to go to Jannah. You do the opposite, you're not interested. You chose not to do the right thing. You chose for yourself, I just made it possible. Think of it this way. Would anybody be able to be misguided if Allah doesn't make it possible? No, if Allah doesn't make misguidance possibility, then nobody would be misguided. But Allah, in order for the test to happen, in order for us to be free to choose, then both alternatives are given to us. And we pick and choose. If you choose good, Allah will help you and push you forward and give you a lot of help. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I guide the believers. Allah will make you love prayers and hate dating. Allah will make you love fasting and hate drinking alcohol. Allah will make you love marriage and hate otherwise. This is how Allah helps you, by changing your heart through love and hate. Okay? If Allah wants to misguide you, then you choose the wine. You choose the wine. Then Allah will let you go with it. Okay? But I choose not to drink. Who made me not to drink? Allah helping me by make my heart hate drinking. You see? That's the help of Allah. He said in the Quran that he is the one who makes good things loved by your heart. Who is the one who make your heart love good things, and your heart hates bad things. That's his aid. That's his assistance to us. That's his reward to us, is that, hey, you ask for, you want to be good, I will help you out. Okay? Some people, they just don't want it. They just don't want it to be the right way. They do the wrong way. And Allah makes it, you know. So he's not responsible. He's just making it happen. And it's your choice at the end. In the day of judgment, the people will say to Allah, you are the one who wrote this on us. It's you are the one who misguided us. There is a joke about this, by the way, in the time of Umar, who was the second Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. First Khalifa was Abu Bakr, second Khalifa was Umar. During his time, during his reign, they caught a guy stealing. And they brought him to Umar for judgment. Now, Umar, the thief was trying to argue with Umar. So the thief said, it's not my choice. I had no choice. Allah wrote, I steal and I stole. It's Allah wanted me to steal. What can I do? So Omar gave him a very nice answer. He said, and Allah wanted me to cut your hand. I have no choice either. So what can I do? I have no choice except cut your hand because Allah wanted me to do so. And he, so I'm just doing what he wants, cutting your hand. He's giving him an answer, smart answer, that makes him drink from the same cup. Okay, if Allah forced you to,
so much, yes.
Then he's forcing you also to cut your hand. I'm going to cut it. Okay, so that answer, Umar ibn Khattab has his own unique ways of dealing with these issues. Okay. There are names of Allah that makes Allah knows the future, the present, and the past, and everything. There are names of Allah that can explain that. For example, this is life. It has a birth and death. So we are nothing but a piece of time. Starts at birth date, ends at death date. But time is bigger than us. We're just a piece of time. Time is big, and this is our birth and death. Okay? We are just this piece of time. At the end, before this time, we did not exist, and after this time, we will not exist. Okay? So this is time. Allah created the time. Time, Allah is controlling the time. Time does not control Allah, because he's the one who made the time, who created the time. That's why we say Allah never changes, because he's the one created the time. He's the one controlling the time, and he doesn't change. The time changes. He's the one changing the time, and the time is very powerful because it ages everything else on the face of the earth. Ages with time. All creation ages with time, except Allah doesn't age or doesn't change, because he is the maker of the time. So his name Al-Awwal, we name first Al-Awwal, first with no start, Al-End, last without end, and we are just a piece of time, and Allah's first without start, last without an end. So he was there before everything else, but he never started. He's there after everything else, but he never ends. Okay? So Allah is today, now. Allah is now, tomorrow. So Allah doesn't have a time. He's here. He's everywhere now. So he's there. He's now tomorrow. He's now next year. He doesn't have now. It's everything for him is now. I'll give you an example. A storybook. If we do like...
Teacher, I have a question.
Yes.
So you said right now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only now, right?
Yeah, he's in the day of judgment now. He is tomorrow now. Next year now. You know what I'm saying? Right now, he's next year. Right now, he's in the day of judgment.
But
go ahead.
Shouldn't so now would be the opposite of the past and the future, right?
Yes. There is no past and future for Allah. Everything he's now there every all times. I'll give you an example. Look at this storyboard. If I have a storyboard and I put pictures in it, this is when you were born. This is when you first birthday. Second birthday, da 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 da. Oh, this is your die. And I see this board all in front of me. Okay, I can see you when you were born. Right now, I was there. Here, this picture. I see it right now. It's a storyboard. Right now, I see it. I'm seeing you right now when you were born, and I'm seeing you right now when you would be married. I'll see you right now when you are growing old. I see you right now when you die. Why? Because everything to me is a storyboard, and I am outside of the board. So I get to see everything anytime, anywhere. Why? Because I am outside of the storyboard. I can see, I can be all times at the same time. You understand?
Yeah, I get it. So
you understand the metaphor of the storyboard?
Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is outside the storyboard.
Exactly. So he's there everywhere. He's there now everywhere. You know, this is something that you understand from the name of Allah first, without start, last, without end. To Allah, there is no today and tomorrow. He doesn't change with time. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change nothing. He doesn't change or need to change. Everything else is changed. He's the same. He is always the same. Even when he gets, he can get angry and pleased at the same time from two different people.
So, you ever just...
Both are together.
Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
What's the question again? Is that a question?
You're not muted.
Okay. Now, the last item that we want to talk about is which will is superior, our will or the will of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we see, look here, we find that, for example, in this surah, in this ayah, Allah is talking about His will and your will. Allah says in this here, in 20:28, to whomsoever among you who wills to walk straight. And then the next ayah says, and you cannot will unless Allah wills. Okay? You cannot will unless Allah wills. So your will is not in control of Allah's will. Allah wills controls your will. Why? Because you can never will without Allah giving you the ability and the permission to will. Okay? So that's what here. You cannot will unless Allah wills. He has to give you the permission. He has to give you the scenario or the parameters that that allows you to make your own will. So no one can will without Allah willing first. Allah has to will first to give you the will, to give you the free will. He has to will that first before you can get it. There is also another ayah here in Surah Al-Insan. Same thing. Allah says, so whomsoever him will, take his bath to Allah, but you cannot will unless Allah wills. Again, the same statement repeated many times, that you, our will is not superior to the will of Allah. Our will is not in control of Allah's will. No, it's the other way around. Now, about the books of Allah, we have two kinds of books that Allah has written. The first book is called the Book of the Design Book. And the other book is called the Final Book. So we have the Design Book and we have the Final Book. Okay. In Surah Ar-Ra'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I hope I have link to it here. I don't think I do. But anyway, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Ra'd that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, erases from the book what He wants and confirms what He wants, and He has the master book. So there is a book, the changing book, we call it the Book of Qadr. And then the final book is the Book of Qada. So we have Qadr and Qada. Qadr is a design. Qada is what actually takes place. I'll give you an example. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Allah, and Allah gave him how many prayers first? You know the story? Allah assigned him how many prayers? 50, right? You know that story? Who doesn't know the story? Shake your head if you don't know it. Okay, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to meet Allah, when he was ascending to heaven, he met Allah. Allah gave him, he said, you pray 50 times a day. So Prophet Muhammad received the orders and he went down And while he was going down, he met Prophet Musa in one of those heavens, either the fourth or the third, Allah knows better which heaven, but he met Prophet Musa there. Prophet Musa asked him, how many prayers Allah assigned to you? He said 50. He said 50? Oh my God, I have experienced the children of Israel. I know people, we will never, 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 people will never be able to make 50 prayers a day. Never. Go ask Allah to reduce it. So he went back to reduce it. Allah made them 40. Okay. I'm not quite 40, 30. I'm not exactly sure about the numbers, but let's say Allah made them 40. When he went down, he met Prophet Musa. He said, 40? No way. Go back, ask Allah for less. So he went back, he asked Allah for less. Allah made them 20. Let's say 20. He went back and he met Prophet Musa. 20? No way. I know the people. I know the children of Israel. I know what they have done to me. 20 is too much. Go ask Allah for less. So Prophet Muhammad asked Allah for less. So Allah said 5 prayers, and the one who prays them gets the reward of 50. So when he went, when he was descending down, Prophet Musa met him and said, 5 is too much. People are not going to be able to make it. So go ask for less. He said, no, I shy away. Allah said 5 and I get a reward of 50. I shy away from asking Allah for any less than that. The question is, why did Allah do that? Why didn't just Allah give him 5 times prayers and that's it? Why not? Does Allah change his mind? Go ahead.
I think it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted people to understand the significance of 5 prayers a day. And he wanted to show them that this wasn't just something, like he knew it was to happen, that 5 prayers a day. But he wanted people to understand the significance of doing 5 prayers a day. It's not 5 points, it's 10 each, your whole life.
And I add to that, that Allah wants us to recognize his kindness. If he would have given us 5, we would not recognize his kindness. But he started with 50, and then he dropped it down to 5 to show us his kindness. If he just thought 5, we would not recognize his guidance. So Allah does things in a manner that shows us his generosity and kindness to make us able to realize them and to appreciate them and to learn about them. Okay, now this is why Allah has 2 books, the book of design or the qadr and the book of qada, which is the final. Then Allah says that I erase from the preliminary book or the book of qadr, or the design is like design and building. So the design book and the final book, the design book, which is al-qadr, Allah writes on it 50 prayers. Then at the final book, Allah has 5 prayers. Okay, but in the transition between 50 to 5, we learn about Allah. Another example that Prophet Muhammad said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the provisions of the ones who obey him, and he deprived wealth from the people who disobey him. Believers who disobey Allah, their wealth decreases. Believers who obey Allah, their wealth increases. We're talking about believers here, okay? Disobedient believers and obedient believers. So at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had X amount of wealth. But because this person was good to his parents, because he's good and he did good things, Allah will increase his wealth. There is an example of that. A person who was supposed to live 70 years, when the time of the 70 years are over and angel of death is getting ready to take his soul, Allah says, no, give him 10 more years extension. The angel said, why? Allah says, because he was good to his parents. Okay, so Allah from the beginning could have said, well, give him 80 years of life and that's it, that's the final book. But no, he put in the design 70, and then when this person did a good deed, Allah gave him 10 more years extension. This is hadith Prophet Muhammad said, whomsoever wants to get more wealth and get longer life, let him be righteous and kind to his parents. Let him be kind to his parents. Let him maintain his kin relationships. Keep good relationships with his relatives, including, of course, parents. Okay? So you increase your life by doing good deeds. You're increasing your life, increasing your wealth. By doing bad deeds, you're decreasing your wealth and you're decreasing your life. Okay? Another example. There was this rain supposed to come. Okay? There was a rain supposed to come. It didn't happen. And it was a drought area. And on this drought area, there was only one land. It was a farmland. Only one of them, one of the parcels, is receiving rain. And the others are not receiving rain. So a righteous person was walking, and he heard in the skies an angel say, Allah has ordered me to rain the parcel of this person or the farm of this person because he donated money and he was kind to the poor and the needy. So at the beginning, in the initial book, there was no rain. But in the final book, he received rain. Why? Because he was good. So through this process, we are able to recognize Allah, learn more about Allah through this process. Okay? So the Prophet said, you disobey Allah, you lose. Your wealth decreases, your life decreases. But the problem is that we don't know. I didn't know that I'm supposed to live 70 years, but Allah gave me 10 extra years. I don't know that. Angels know that, okay? But I don't, okay? So, but we have, like there was this guy from the children of Israel. He used to disobey Allah a lot. And then he said, Ya Allah, I disobey you so much and you're not punishing me. So Allah revealed to the Prophet living at that time, Allah said, go tell my slave that I punish you so much. I punished you so many times. I punished you so many times. I punished you so much and you don't realize it. So what do you mean by Allah's punishing him and he's not realizing it? For example, he could have gotten promotion. Allah stopped his promotion. He could have gotten to marry a good wife. Allah gave him a bad wife. His son should have been good to him. Maryam, we need the video on. Allah could have designed initially to give him a good wife. But because he's bad, Allah gave him a bad wife. Now, the problem is that he doesn't have a reference. He has a bad wife. He didn't know that he would have gotten a good wife if he's a good guy. He's poor. He didn't know that if he was a good guy, he would have been rich. So Allah punishes him, but he's not realizing that he's being punished because he doesn't have faith. When you have faith, then you understand, oh, Allah's punishing me because of this. There is a story, final story, about a bird. This bird, the nature, Allah created this bird to hunt for meat, not to steal meat. So that bird saw people doing barbecue, so he rushed into the meat. He stole a piece, and then he flew back to his nest, and he dropped the piece of meat to his children. He didn't realize that there is a charcoal that was stuck with the meat, and that was burning, and it burned his entire nest, and all his children died. So the bird went crying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. He went to Prophet Sulaiman and he said, didn't you tell me that Allah is patient? He doesn't punish me for the bad deed right away. He gives me a chance to repent and reconsider. He doesn't give the punishment right away. He gives me time to repent. He said, yes. He said, then what? Look, how do you explain what happened to me? He said, well, I know what you just said, but I don't know what happens before and or what will happen after. So Allah revealed a message, revelation to Prophet Sulaiman, and he said, told him, go tell the bird that this punishment is for a sin that he has committed long time ago. The sin for stealing the meat didn't come yet. unless you repent, it will come. But that sin, for the previous sin, that burning and that punishment was for a previous sin that I gave him enough time to repent from, and he didn't. So this way you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be punishing people. And that, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when a believer gets a harm or gets a benefit, he's always thinking about the wisdom of Allah. Oh, that must, this, I get money. Oh, this must be because I paid a charity last year. Immediately linking. Gets good thing. Oh yeah, maybe because I prayed tahajjud raka'ah yesterday. Oh, this is because I made dua to Allah to give me more money. Always, the believer is always linking the good things and the bad things that happen to him. Bad thing, oh yeah, because I slept yesterday without praying Aisha, so Allah did this to me. Okay. Believer is always linking. But the non-believers, like a prophet said, like a camel. You tie the camel, you leash the camel, you unleash the camel doesn't have an idea. Why is he has no idea why he's being released, why is he being restrained? He just has no idea what's going on and what's the wisdom behind what's happening. So believers always, you should be thinking, oh yeah, I did something good. This is Allah rewarding me for this. Oh, I did this thing bad. This is Allah punishing me for this. Oh, I want to increase my wealth, so let me pray two more rak'ahs. Oh, I want to increase my lifespan, so let's pray three more rak'ahs. And Allah will give you what you hope to get. And if you do a bad deed, Allah will give you what you fear to get. So be always, make your heart always attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always think, why is this happening to me? What did I do good? What did I do bad? Always continuously think. And Allah will show you, will help you make the links. When I look at my life, I can tell you exactly that I did this thing wrong. Allah gave me that punishment. I can point out a mistake and the punishment. I can link them together. And I'm certain, because the way the circumstances, it makes it clear to me that this punishment is for this sin, because they are related in other ways. But the bottom line that here I'm trying to say, always be thinking what's happening to you. Why? Why Allah's doing this to me? Why? How can I improve myself? Or how can I prevent this harm from happening? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We'll see you. Any questions before we leave? Assalamu alaikum. We'll see you next week, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.